I know how the gift works, Richard. Richard thought about it and finally decided he didn't believe her, but decided, too, that he didn't want to argue with her about it. There were other things he wanted to know. Is your little book full? I haven't seen you writing in it. I sent a message yesterday that we have come through the valley. I have nothing else to write, that's all. The book is magic. With magic we erase old messages. I erased all but 2 pages, but with what I added yesterday, there are now 3 pages full. Richard tore off a corner of the hot bannock. Who is the prelate? She charges the Sisters of the Light. She is... Her eyes narrowed. I've never mentioned her. How do you know of her? Richard licked the crumbs from his fingers. I read it in your book. Her hand flew to her belt, groping for the book. It was there, where it always was.
You've read my private writing? You have no right. I will...
You were dead at the time. Her mouth snapped shut and he went on. When I killed you, or the illusion of you, the book fell on the ground. I read it.
The tension left her muscles.
Oh.
Well, that's simply part of the illusion. I told you it's not as things are in life.
Richard tore off another corner of bannock. There were only 2 pages with writing, just as the real book. Not until we were through the valley did you add the third. Back then there were only 2.
She watched him eating the bannock. Illusion, Richard.
He looked up. 1 page said, I am the sister in charge of this boy. These directives are beyond reason, if not absurd. I demand to know the meaning of these instructions. I demand to know upon whose authority they are given. Yours in the service of the Light, Sister Verna Soventrine. The 2nd page said, You will do as you are instructed or suffer the consequences. Do not presume to question the orders of the palace again. In my own hand, the prelate. The sister's face had drained of color.
You had no business reading something belonging to another.
As I said, you were dead at the time. What instructions did they give you about me that made you so angry? The color came back to her face in a rush.
It has to do with a technicality. It's nothing you would understand, and anyway, it is not your business.
Richard lifted an eyebrow.
Not my business?
You claim you are only trying to help me, yet you've taken me prisoner, and you say it's not my business? I have this collar around my neck, and with it you can hurt me, perhaps kill me, and you say it is not my business? You tell me I must do the things you say, that I must take them on faith, even though that faith is shaken with every new thing I discover, yet it's not my business? You tell me that the illusion I saw was not as things are in the real world, yet I find it was, and you tell me it's not my business?
Sister Verna was silent. She watched him without emotion. Watched him, he thought, as if he were a bug in a box.
Sister Verna, will you tell me 1 thing I've been wondering about?
If I can.
He pulled his legs up tighter under himself. He tried to keep any hostility out of his tone. When you first saw me, you were surprised that I was grown. You thought that I would be young.
That's right. We have ones at the palace who can sense one born with the gift. But you were hidden from us, so it took us a very long time to find you.
But you told me just the other day that you had spent over half your life away from the palace, searching for me. If you've spent 20-odd years looking for me, how could you expect me to be young? You would have expected me to be grown, unless you didn't know I had been born and started searching for me long before anyone at the palace sensed me.
Her answer came in a cautious, quiet voice. It is as you say. It has never happened this way before.
So why would you come looking for me before any of you sensed that one with the gift had been born?
She chose her words carefully. We didn't know precisely when you would be born, but we knew you would be, so we were sent in search.
How did you know I would be born?
You are spoken of in prophecy.
Richard nodded. He wanted to know about this prophecy and why they thought he was so important, but he didn't want to stray from the trail he was following at the moment. So you knew it might be many years before you found me?
Yes. We didn't know when you would be born. We were only able to narrow it to a range of decades.
How are the sisters who are to be sent chosen?
Were selected by the prelate.
You have no say in the matter?
She tensed, as if suspicious she might accidentally be slipping her neck through a noose, yet was unable to keep from voicing her faith. We work in the service of the Creator. We would have no reason to object. The whole purpose of the palace is to help those with the gift. To be selected to save one with the gift is one of the greatest honors a sister may receive. So none of the others sent have ever had to give up so many years of their lives to rescue one with a gift?
No. I've never heard of it taking more than a year, but I knew this assignment could last for decades.
Richard smiled to himself in triumph. He leaned back, stretching his muscles. He took a deep breath. Now I understand.
Her eyes narrowed. What do you understand?
I understand, Sister Verna, why you treat me the way you do. I understand why we're always fighting, why we're always at each other's throats. I understand why you resent me, why you hate me.
She looked like someone waiting for the trap door to fall out from under her. I don't hate you, Richard.
He nodded and pulled the catch on that trap door.
Yes, you do. You hate me.
And I don't blame you. I understand. You had to give up Jedediah because of me.
She flinched as if a noose had just tightened around her neck.
Richard, you will not speak to me and— You resent me because of that. Not because of what happened to the other two sisters, it's because of Jedediah. If it weren't for me, you would be with him. You would have been with him for the last 20 years. You had to give up the love of your life to go on this accursed quest to find me. They sent you. You had no choice. You had to go. It's your duty. And it cost you your love and the children you might have had. That's what I've cost you. Why you hate me.
Sister Verna sat and stared. She neither spoke nor moved. Finally, she said, The Seeker indeed.
I'm sorry, Sister Verna.
No need to be, Richard. You don't know what you are talking about.
She slowly lifted the rabbit from the fire, setting it on the iron plate with the bannock. For a moment, she stared off into nothing.
We had better finish eating. We must be on our way.
Fine. But I just want you to consider, sister, that it's not by my choice. I didn't do this to you. The prelate did. You should either be angry with her, or if you're so devoted to your duty, to your creator, as you claim, then you should have joy in his service. Either way, please stop blaming me.
She opened her mouth to speak, but then instead fumbled with the stopper on the waterskin, finally getting it off, and took a long drink. Drawing deep breaths when she finished, she dabbed her sleeve to her wet lips, her unwavering gaze locked on his. Soon, Richard, we will be to the palace, but first we have to pass through the land of a very dangerous people. The sisters have an arrangement with them to be allowed to pass. You will have to do a task for them. You will do it, or there will be great trouble.
What will I have to do?
You will have to kill someone for them.
Sister Verna, I promise you, I'm not going to—
Her index finger rose from her fist, commanding silence. Don't you dare swing the axe this time, Richard, she whispered. You have no idea of the consequences.
She rose to her feet.
Get the horses ready, we must be leaving.
Richard stood. Aren't you going to have your breakfast?
She ignored his question and stepped close to him. It takes two to argue, Richard. You're always angry with me with everything I tell you. You resent me. You hate me because you think I made you put on that collar. But I didn't, and you know it. Kaelin made you put it on. It's because of her you wear the Radahan. If it weren't for her, you wouldn't be with me. That's what I've cost you and why you hate me. But I think you should consider, Richard, that it's not by my choice. I didn't do this to you. Kaelin did. You should either be angry with her, or if you're so devoted to her as you claim, then have joy in carrying out her wishes. Perhaps she has valid reasons for them. Maybe she has your interests at heart. Either way, please stop blaming me.
Richard tried to swallow, but couldn't. Chapter 37 The blood-red light of day's death oozed through the bones of trees lining the spine of the next ridge. Her green-eyed gaze left the well-hidden places where outposts of sentries were stationed. They were too far apart, she noted, or she would not be standing unnoticed where she was. She tallied the men in rank upon rank of tents, marching up the valley floor below. 5,000 would be generous, she concluded. Horses were picketed to her left, near supply wagons all neatly lined up. To the far side of the valley, latrines had been dug in the snow. Cook wagons stationed between the men and the supply wagons were packing up for the night. Colorful battle flags flew over the command tents. It was probably the most orderly army she had ever seen afield. Galleons did have a penchant for order.
"They look very nice," Chandelin said in a quiet voice, "for men about to be slaughtered."
The two brothers gave nervous chuckles of agreement. Kalin nodded absently. That morning they had seen the army these men were chasing. They were not neat. They were not orderly. They were not pretty. And their sentries were not stationed too far apart. Still, Chandelin and the two brothers had managed to get her close enough to see what she had wanted to see, and to take a tally. She had guessed their numbers at 50,000, and that was not being generous. She let out a long breath, its thin, white cloud drifting away in the cold air.
"I have to stop this."
She hiked her pack and bow up on her back.
"Let's get down there."
Chandelin, Prindon, and Tossadin followed behind as she slogged down the hillside of fluffy snow. It had taken her longer than she had hoped to catch these men. A blizzard, high in Jara Pass, had left the four of them holed up in the shelter of a wayward pine for 2 days. Wayward pines always reminded Kalin of Richard, and as she had lain in her fur mantle, listening to the howl of the wind, she had dreamed of him while she slept, and while she was awake. She was furious that she had to lose valuable time on the way to Aidenville to stop this army from their suicide pursuit of the forces that had destroyed Ebenicia. But as the Mother Confessor, she couldn't allow nearly 5,000 men to die to no purpose. She had to stop them before they got close to the army that had plundered Ebenicia. They were too close now. They would surely make contact by the next day. The army sprang to alert as the four figures in white wolf-pelt mantles marched toward them. Shouts erupted and were repeated back through the ranks. Tent flaps were flung open and men poured out. Swords were drawn, sending the ring of steel into the cold twilight air.